Then went I down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Back again in the beginning in verse 4, it says, in the vessel that he made, again the process of making a vessel. We've looked at several different things. The clay must be removed and refined and reformed and rotated. And 2 weeks ago, I started dealing with the thought of the clay must be responsive, which means that as he moves his hands or as he does his work, that clay must be pliable, it must respond, it must be tender, it must be surrendered, it must be yielded. In fact, that's what we've looked at. We've looked at the clay must be or needs to be sensitive. It must be so sensitive, so pliable that if that potter just barely just twitches a finger, that clay responds to it. And that's how we should be, sensitive to the Lord, responsive to Him. And then also the clay needs to be surrendered. It has to be yielded. It has to be yielded completely to the potter, not what it desires or what he, if we can say it in human terms, what the clay has in mind that it wants to be, but what the potter desires. It must be surrendered. And then we looked also at the clay must be satisfied. A lot of difference between being sensitive, that we can hear God or we know His voice. And there's a big difference between being sensitive and even surrendered, which means I've yielded myself to Him, and then being satisfied. You can tell a little child you cannot have that candy, and they may surrender to that and say, okay, but I guarantee they're not satisfied. They still want the candy. And part of the work that the potter's attempting to do on us is to get us to the point to where we're content, we're satisfied. We want what he wants. It's not just that we're surrendered to his work, but we want his work. We desire what he's doing in our lives. And boy, I'll tell you, if we can get there, we've made a step of victory. But I want to look one little more step as far as the clay must be responsive. And not only say that it needs to be sensitive and surrendered and satisfied, but the clay needs to be stretched. I don't know if you've ever seen a potter work. It is amazing, this thought of from a lump to a vessel, that process of getting it from that just a big glob into the vessel that it desires. That clay must be stretched out. It has to be pulled on. It has to be pushed on. And so tonight I want to try to deal with that thought. The clay needs to be stretched from that lump, from that gob of clay to a vessel. Boy, what a change. What a difference there is. And that's exactly how the potter is with our lives. He does not want us to remain the same. I mean, after all, that's what the potter's doing. If he's just wanting a lump of clay, anybody can do that. But he's wanting that lump to become a vessel. He's wanting some development. He's wanting some change. And in order for that to happen, that clay must be stretched out. And so it is with us. The Lord desires that we mature. The Lord desires that we develop. The Lord does not want us to stay the same. He does not want us to stay in the place that we are spiritually. He is attempting to make us better. He's attempting to make us improved. I mean, again, from a lump to a vessel, that's quite a bit of difference. That's quite a bit of an improvement. And that's what the potter is trying to do with us. He wants to mature us. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 3:1, where Paul was speaking to the Corinthians. And from a broken heart, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual or mature, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, oh, it broke my heart that you're not developing. It hurts me that you're not growing. It hurts me that you're not maturing. The expectation was, you're saved now. It's just normal. It's just natural to grow and to develop and to mature. And that's God's divine work on us as the potter works on the clay. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 again, Paul writing says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He said, oh, it delights me to find out that you're growing, that you're loving each other more, and you're abounding in love. He says, oh, it thrills me to hear that you're developing. The potter's stretching you out. He's helping you to grow and to develop. And that's God's desire for us. And 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another. The Lord does not want us to stay the same. He does not want us stagnant. He does not want us content and satisfied in our condition. And He's drawing us out. He's stretching us out that we might grow and develop. Well, if the clay is going to be stretched, there's some things that must happen. If the clay is to be stretched, first the potter must press the clay. It's amazing, the paradoxes of Scripture. Like the way up is down, the way to receive is to give. Well, here's another paradox. For the way to rise, or the way to stretch that clay, it first begins by flattening. The potter takes that lump of clay about the right size, and he will push it, he'll throw it from one hand to the other. He bats it back and forth and gets it into a circle, and he literally, and this is the term that is used, he throws it on the wheel, gets it right on the center, and he spins the wheel, and what he does is he places his hands on that lump, and he pushes in and he pushes down. He presses the clay. He is compressing the clay. It's a necessary step. It's a needed step. It's a step that cannot be avoided. He realizes that clay must be compressed. He realizes that clay must be pressed together firmly. If he does not press the clay, if he does not put that pressure down on that clay, if he does not take his hands and squeeze that lump together, it'll never be strong. It'll be too porous to use. It'll be easily cracked. It'll crack up easily. He knows this process is necessary. There must be that pressure. There must be that pressing. There must be that pushing down. I'm talking tonight about the clay must be stretched, but for it to be stretched, it must be pressed down to begin with. It must be compressed. After all the cleaning and after all the consistency is right, there must be that pressing down, that compressing of the clay. And he puts some pressure on it. He literally puts his weight into this task. He puts his pressure, his weight, his strength into compressing that clay. That means it hurts. That means it's hard. That means it's difficult on the lump of clay. And that's exactly what our potter does to us. He applies the pressure. He pushes on us. He presses us in. He puts pressure on us. He allows us to go through things that are difficult and hard. He applies the pressure, but it's necessary. And if we see it correctly, if we see this work as it should be, if we see it and we appreciate it as we ought, we'll say, thank you, potter, for doing this on me. Thank you for doing this to me. Paul recognized that, and he said this in Romans 5:3, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. He says that pressure, that pushing, that pressure, that weight, those things we go through, it works to our good, makes us stronger, helps us endure, helps us get ready for the next trial. That's why James said in chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He could say just like this, that potter's pressure is doing good to you. Rejoice over it. Be thankful for what he's doing. Before the clay can be stretched into a vessel, it must be pressed. It must be pushed. It must be flattened. And that's what God does in our lives. You see, in order for us to really tell what we are, we have to go through difficulty. I remember Brother Dana Williams saying, I am an excellent Christian. I'm one of the best Christians on earth as long as I get my way. And that's how we all are. As long as things go our way and as long as things go exactly how we want them, we can all act nice and be good. But the real self comes out when the pressure comes. We see what we are when troubles come. We see ourselves as we really are when the pressure's applied. And that potter knows if I don't put the pressure now, that vessel will never be any good. The clay will never be useful. I'm talking tonight about the clay must be stretched. If the clay is to be stretched, the potter must press the clay. If the clay is to be stretched, the potter must puncture the clay. Once he gets it pressed, it literally looks like an upside-down bowl, if you can think about it like that. It is pressed, it is tight, it is consistent. He has pressed it down to the place where he wants it to be, and now he begins the process of making it into a vessel. And the first thing he does is takes his fist right on top of the lump, and starts putting down pressure right in the center and pushes down and in and then pulls out. Sometimes he'll take his thumb and go right down in the middle of the lump, push down and pull out. What he's doing is working on the inside. He punctures a hole in the center of the lump because he knows before I do anything to the outside, I must get the inside taken care of. I must center my attention on the inside first. He knows the outside will never be what it ought to be unless the inside is what it ought to be. So he punctures a hole. He presses his hands or his fist or his thumbs right in the center and opens it up. And it's an amazing sight. The inside just opens up. He is puncturing the clay. And so it is with our potter. He knows the inside is important. He's concerned about our outside. He's concerned about how we look. He's concerned about our appearance. He's concerned about how we dress. He's concerned about how we talk. He's concerned about how we act. All that's in Scripture. We find it all the way. We find plenty of Scripture dealing with that. Just a couple we find in 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. By the way, this can be applied to the men too. This is not just for the ladies that they're supposed to dress modestly. Men are supposed to also. So the Lord clearly is concerned at our appearance. Our outside is important. He is concerned about our outside. 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning with a plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or a putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, the inside, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The potter is very concerned with the outside. Of course he is. But he's more concerned with the inside. For again, he realizes if he doesn't get the inside right, the outside will never be right. So he punctures that hole. He enters the center of the lump. He begins working on the inside. Because it doesn't matter how good the outside looks, if the inside isn't right, you don't have a vessel you can use. If this cup has dirt in it, would you drink from it? I sure wouldn't. Even if I would come in front of you and clean the outside and you would know the outside is spotless, the outside is as clean as it could be, the outside is even sanitized, if the inside has filth in it, you're not going to drink it. And that's how it is with us. We can clean up the outside. We can make ourselves look good. You know, that's what the scribes and Pharisees did. And Jesus said, you're like whited sepulchres. You make your outside look good, but inside you are rotten. We can make our outside look good, but that doesn't make us good. That doesn't make us right. The Lord said, you are like those rotted sepulchres. You are like those tombs full of dead men's bones. So the potter starts on the inside. He starts working on the vessel on the inside. Because again, he knows if he can get the inside right, the outside will take care of itself. And so it is with our Lord. So it is with our potter. You see, the inside is the real us. Now, I try to not perform. I try to not put on a show. I try not to pretend to be something that I'm not. But what you see of me may not really be me. The real me is what's inside. You see, and by the way, you're the same way. We let others see what we want them to see, what we wish they would think about us. That's what we show outwardly. And the Lord said, the real you is inside. And I'm working on the real you. I want the real you right. I want the inside right. I want the inside clean. I want the inside like it ought to be. The inside is the real us. And what we are on the inside generally is revealed outwardly. Not always true, because I just told about the Pharisees and the scribes. But generally what we are on the inside will be revealed on the outside. If there's something wrong outside, it's because there's something wrong inside. If there's something wrong in our actions or what we say or how we look, it shows that there's a problem inside. If somebody wears revealing clothing, that shows that there's a spiritual problem inside. If somebody uses slang or tells discolored jokes, that shows that there's a problem inside. What we see is outward, but the problem that we, or the things we see outward, are revealing what we are inward. That's why the potter starts on the inside. He works on the inside first. Again, what we say or what we do reveals what we are on the inside. It's kind of like the old saying, what's in the well is going to come up the bucket. And that's true. The potter wants to stretch the clay. But before he can start the stretching, he must put that puncture, that hole, that opening, and open up the inside and work on the inside and make sure the inside is right before he ever does anything to the outside. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants to make sure we're right inwardly. If we lack spirituality, there's a reason, there's a problem, and he wants to deal with that. That problem's not outward, that problem's inward. If we lack joy, that shows there's a problem. That shows there's something wrong, and there's a reason, and he wants to fix that. If we lack faith, that shows it's a problem, not an outward problem, not by how what I dress like or how I look or how I carry myself. The problem of lack of faith is an inward problem, and the Lord wants to deal with that. That's why he's working on us. And that's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our inward man is a complex thing. Our inward man, the real us, is complicated to say the least. Our inward man, I'm talking about, that clay must be punctured. He works on the inside first. And the inside of us is complicated. That part that he's working on, that part of us that he's interested in, that is a complex thing. It's not so simple. Our inward man includes our desires, what we want. I opened the service tonight saying, I hope you've come hungry. That means I hope you've got a desire. Hope you've come hungry for God. Hope God stirred in you. Hope the potter's done a work inside you to where you've come tonight wanting something from God, hungry, wanting to live right, wanting to do right, wanting to learn more about the Word. That's what the potter's working on, to develop that work in us to make our desires right, to where we'll desire the right thing, we'll desire spiritual things. That's why Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The psalmist said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Talking about desire, the inward man, that's where our desires are. What do you desire? What do you want? What pleases you? What satisfies you? The potter's working on us to where our desires will be spiritual. And that we want above anything else for God's will to be done in our lives. And for God to move and God to use us. The inward man includes our desires. And that's what the potter's working on the inside. The inward man includes our thoughts. What we think about. Not just what we do, but what we think about. Matthew 5:27. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. He's saying, now there's no doubt committing adultery is wrong. The outward act, the process of adultery is wrong. But he said, I go further than that. I go inside to where even if you think it, even if it goes through your mind and you ponder it, that's wrong. That displeases me. You see, he goes beyond the outward. There's more involved with the vessel than just how it looks outside. The inside is important. And that's what the potter's working on with us. He wants to make sure our thoughts are right. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything springs forth from our heart. Our thoughts, our thought process, our actions eventually come from our thoughts. What we think eventually we will do. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. It's the inside. The Lord wants the inside right, and that even includes our thoughts, our desires, and our thoughts. He's trying to make those spiritual. He's trying to overcome. He's trying to control. He's trying to come to where we have our desires and our thoughts under his authority, under the control of the potter. He's working on the inside. The potter's working on us, attempting to deal with what's wrong inside. Maybe it's something like anger or jealousy or bitterness or envy or adultery or selfishness. Maybe it's something that's definitely sin and our desires and our thoughts are not pleasing and he's trying to deal with that. Maybe some lack. We may fear. We may worry. We may have anxiety. We may be insecure. And he's trying to work on that. You see, he's dealing with the inside. And the insides deal with our desires, our thoughts. It even deals with our motives. Not only what we do, but why do we do it? I got a question. Why are you here tonight? Why did you come? Why did you get ready? Why did you get up when you probably were too tired to? And why did you come tonight? The Lord says, I'm glad you're here, but I want to know why you're here. Our motives. He deals with the inside. That includes our motives. Why we do what we do. He's interested in that. He's interested in what we do. Of course he is. Paul said, the things you've heard and you've seen and you know about me, do those things. We're to do it, no doubt. But the Lord goes on past saying, do it, do it, do it. He's wondering why our motives. Why do we do what we do? Our motives are important. I ask you the question again. Why are you here? Somebody may say, I am here tonight because I want to see God move, and I hope that's the reason. But I've got another question. Why do you want to see God move? There's another motive. Wanting to see God move is a good desire, but why do we have that desire? It may just be, I want to see God move because I really need to feel good. And that's a little bit selfish there. I want to see God move because I've got a need and I want God to take care of this need. That's a little bit selfish, even though it certainly has justification. He's interested in our inside. He's concerned about our motives, not just what we do, but why do we do it? He's working on that, trying to make our motives pure. He's working. He's doing that in, that he's doing in our lives to try and make us what we need to be. That's why Jesus said, don't give your alms to where people can see you. Don't pray where people can hear you. He says, if you pray to be heard, you have your reward. You know what that means? You prayed that somebody might hear you. They heard you. You got what you wanted. You ain't getting an answer to prayer. The motives of what we do. Good things can be done for wrong reasons. We do what we do. Maybe because it's right. Obligation. That's not a bad reason, just not the best. We may do what we do out of fear. We're afraid if I don't do what God says, he's going to get me and I'll be sorry, I'll pay. And that's certainly a good reason, but it's not the best reason. We may do what we do to be seen of men, that people may say, oh, you're such a blessing, and that sort of has its place as far as people appreciating us, but that's not the best reason. That's not the best motive. We may do what we do for a lot of different reasons, wrong motives. The best is, I want to please God. I want to love Him. I want to do what I do because I love Him. And the Lord wants us to have the right motives. Ananias and Sapphira sold some land and gave most of the money away. And God killed them. First, because they lied to the Holy Ghost, but also they did it to be seen of men. A good deed done the wrong reason. I'm talking tonight about the clay must be stretched. For it to be stretched, he must first press it. He must secondly puncture it. Then thirdly, he must pull it. Oh, if you've ever seen this, it's amazing. Once he gets the inside like he wants it, he'll take one side, he'll take his left hand if he's right-handed, and he'll put it on the outside of that lump, and he'll actually lay against the little bench or whatever and put his weight on it where he can have this hand steady, and he'll put his other hand inside, and he just pulls up and out. And oh my goodness, it's like from that lump, a vessel just appears. It's the most amazing thing. He pulls the clay. As he pulls it up, and he pulls it out. You know what he's doing? He's stretching the clay. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to stretch us out. He wants to mature us. He wants us to go further than we've ever gone before. He wants us to go higher than we've ever gone before. He wants us to yield to him to where he can stretch us out further than we ever imagined possible. He doesn't want us as a little lump. He doesn't want us as a little knob. He wants to stretch us. He wants to mature us. He wants to teach us. He wants to lead us. He wants to direct us. He wants to stretch us out and pull us further than we ever thought we could was possible. He wants to stretch us. We should never be content where we're at. Not when it comes to the things of God. We should desire that the Lord stretch us further, that we might believe Him more than we ever thought we could, that we might trust Him for more than we ever thought that could ever happen, that we might walk in places that we never thought we could walk, that we might experience things with Him we've never even dreamed of was possible. Peter walked on water. Sure, he sunk, but he walked on water still. He walked in a place that he'd never walked before because the Lord was stretching him out. He pulled him. Wonder where the Lord wants to take us. Wonder what He wants to develop us into. Wonder what kind of vessel He has in mind for you and for me. He starts that work by pressing us down, by puncturing us, but then by pulling us and stretching us out. I'll say it again, the whole message, the whole series is this, that we yield to Him, that we see His work, we understand what He's doing, and we bow, we surrender, we yield, that He might make us into that vessel He desires. Thank you for listening. Let's stand together. Appreciate you being patient tonight. Maybe there's somebody who would like to come and slip around the altar and say, here's one lump of clay that just wants to surrender. Here's a lump of clay that realizes their need. Here's a lump of clay that realizes the inside, outside, upside, downside needs help. And I surrender, I yield, I give you myself. Might be somebody here tonight. There's something you want to pray about I haven't even touched on. It doesn't have to be according to the message. It doesn't have to be on the subject line I've dealt with or anything that's been said in this service. If He's speaking to your heart, please come. Father, I thank You. Once again, I bow. Once again, I submit. I cannot say it, I do it without fear. I cannot say it, I do it without any hesitation, but yet I do it. I know I can trust You. I know I can trust You more than I can trust myself. And even though there's some fear and concern about where it may take me and what I may have to face, I yield to You. I surrender to You. Do a thorough work in all of us, Lord, inside and outside. Make us the vessels we need to be, that would please You and honor You. And I'll thank You for it. Continue to work, Lord, and help us to understand what You're doing. Help us to not rebel. Help us to not get mad. Help us to not resist. And Lord, we'll be glad one day that we did. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say this, the potter knows the vessel, he knows what needs to be done in our lives to bring us to the point of being the vessel He desires us to be. And if we resist that, we're fighting against the will of God, we're fighting against God, and I wonder who's going to win. I thought about Jonah. If Brother Jonah could walk in here tonight, he'd say, you can't win, you can't outrun him. And when you run halfway around the world and get swallowed by a whale and get seasick and everything else, when you get back on shore, His will is going to be the very same thing it was for you ran. And some of us, and I certainly include myself, unfortunately we're learning that the hard way. We need to submit.